month ago, my family went on vacation. I love going on vacation, not only for the time I get to spend with my family, but God always shows me something. And sometimes it's about the ministry, sometimes it's about our business, but He always shows me something, so I really look forward to that. And it usually happens on the plane. This year is interesting. He did show me something, but it was different. And when I share with you what He showed me, you guys might think it's that how did I not know that, or whatever you might think. But so I was sitting on the plane, and usually my family gets split up. So like there's two and then three or something. So nobody ever wants to sit with me and my family. I don't know why. But oh, that's true. I want to be alone. So I was sitting there on this plane, just resting, and I was looking around. The plane was full. So I started looking around the plane, and God showed me something about all these people. And this is where He told me that everybody in that plane has a story. Then He took it from there and He said, everybody in that plane has parents. Everybody in that plane has family traditions that they have that's different from everybody else in that plane. And what He was doing was just, He was showing me that everybody in that plane is significant to Him. And what He's revealing to me is how I just look past, you know, just... I'm very goal-oriented, set things. I do whatever it takes to accomplish the goal and the task. And what He's revealing to me, and has been revealing to me in the past, well, longer than 4 weeks, but He just made it really more clear there, is I really need to start looking at each individual around me, whether I know them or not, and start and realize they have a story. That it's not somebody in, you know, row 5, seat E, that will be in front of me when I try to get off the plane. He's showing me that He cares about every individual, whether they are walking with Him or know Him. He still cares about them, and He desires me to care about them the way He does. Everybody in this room has a story. And the story continues on. Everybody in this room has a different story. Think of them like a movie. Some are more of a comedy. Some are more of a drama. You know? But we each have a story. And God has a story for, He has a plan for us. He wants to fit into that story, and He wants to use us so that we can be part of His story and what He desires to do. 4 weeks ago on this trip, and one thing about trips always just throw me out of routine. Which is good and bad, because it throws you out of... You don't want to say that your quiet times are routine, but it throws you out of your routine. Everything's different, and you have to try to adapt and adjust. For the past 4 weeks, I've been in 2 chapters of the Bible. I've been in Matthew 5, and of course I've been in Romans 12. If you don't know, I love Romans 12. But He had me study more past verses 1 and 2. If you haven't read Romans 12 for a while, it is just packed with who we are supposed to be and who He calls us to be. And what He showed me on the plane and what He's been showing me through these scriptures and show me through Scripture, continues to show me, is His desire to have a close personal relationship with each one of us. And it's getting so much to the point within me and Him revealing that to me and constantly showing and telling me that. It's gotten to the point, and don't take this the wrong way on what I'm about to say, because I've thought a lot about it on whether I should say it or not. But without that close personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, without that, as we were singing in the Jesus, I am so in love with you, that is so easy to sing, it is so hard to do. To live what those lyrics are saying is one of the most difficult things in our Christian walk that we're going to do, is to get to that point. But until we get to that point, and here's what I debated about saying, is that the words in here lose most of their power. We diminish what they are without that relationship. And what I don't want you to take, that I know this is the inspired Word of God. This is living, active, and powerful. But for us, if we do not have that close personal relationship with the Father, if we are not walking in that, these are just a bunch of good things that we can do to be a good person. This is so much more than that. And our relationship with the Father is so much more than that. That close relationship with Him, walking with Him, to where from the depths of our heart we can say, Jesus, I am so in love with you. You take that song and you put it, what does it mean, Jesus, I am so in love with you? When you're in love with somebody, you want to spend time with them. And then you never have enough. It's never enough. You know, there's never enough time to spend with them. When you're so in love with somebody, you communicate with them. You talk. You want to be with them. You want to communicate with them. A lot of times you do things that you really don't want to do just because you're so in love with them, because they want to do it. So when we say, Jesus, I am so in love with you, in our heart, we want to spend time with Him more than anything in the world. We want to have that communication with Him, commune with Him, to sit with Him and talk and communicate. And just because of that love within us, we want to do what He desires us to do. When we can get to that point in our walk with Him, then we can truly start operating through what God calls us to do. I used to teach a course in the ministry I was in before, and we had house churches. I went around to multiple house churches teaching this course. It's called How to Become a Contagious Christian. Excellent course. But I was thinking about it. I mean, there's so many practical things to it on how to become a contagious Christian. And the basics of it is how to be an evangelist by this being building relationship with people around you, in your neighborhoods, where you work, those type of things. And there's a bunch of practical things that you can do. And I've been thinking about that. You know, to put something in a process on how to do it and to see what comes out the other side. When truly how to become a contagious Christian is to be able to sing in this song from your heart, Jesus, I am so in love with you. And you have that relationship with Him and you naturally want to just do what He desires you to do. You just share And people can see it's something different about you, and they'll ask. And God will send people in across your path. An example of that was last week in this place. That was one of the most incredible services I've ever been involved with in my life. And is this because of what God did and who He sent into this place? But being able to love people the way He's called us to, that's how you become a contagious Christian. It's where you naturally want to do things because of your relationship with Him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is your call to be transformed and renewed, which means to be made new again. We are called to be made new again. The old is behind us. To be new in Him. So we're going to go back to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 is the Beatitudes. What your attitude should be. I've heard it said once. And I'm only going to go through the first couple, probably three of these. I'll probably do the rest next week. But I'll read through them first. This is Jesus teaching, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Now, if you look at a lot of these things that he's saying is blessed, in our natural thought process and what we think as being important in the world are opposite of what most of these are. The first one, and it's first for a reason. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Break that down. And blessed here means divine favor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit, humble, self-denying. Number one on what Jesus said, blessed, is to be humble. Humble in all that we do. Blessed are the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Give you a couple verses, reference verses. There's a bunch on being humble. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This verse is used a lot. My people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles, where it says that, humble themselves, number one again, and then pray, and then seek. Psalm 25:9. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and then he shall lift you up. Being humble is number one. Being humble is key to get where God wants us to go. Blessed are the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The second one, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This is a tough one for me. Those who mourn, a life of repentance. You weep with those who weep. To have or to show great sorrow. To be able to look around you and see what is going on and have your heart break like it does to the Father. To look around and see things that you just know aren't right. And it affects you. To be able to weep with those when they weep. To recognize injustice and not just turn and walk away. And not say it's somebody else's problem. I got enough to deal with. My day's busy enough the way it is. If you read through the New Testament, Jesus never said that or did that. Say, I've got to get here, and I just don't have time for this. Yes, somebody else will take care of you. Jesus took time for everybody. Even when Jesus wanted to be alone, he took time to heal the sick. Compassion. Love. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Comfort from the Father. This next one, easily misunderstood. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meek does not mean weak. That is not what this verse means. It's been interpreted that way many times. But meek is not weak. Meek is actually here showing patience, humility, and of a gentleness. It ties very close in with being poor in spirit. Showing patience. Meek also means throughout Scripture in here is that we trust totally in what God has for us. We accept it. We enjoy it. And in our heart, we just want to do what he desires us to do and to walk where he desires us to walk. having patience in everything that we do. That's a tough one. Psalm 37:11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. And they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. This also goes along with not being anxious. Philippians 4:6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through Jesus Christ. So to be meek is not to be anxious. Showing patience in everything. Trusting God totally in everything. They will inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If I could have a favorite, this would probably be my favorite. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, the hunger and thirst here that he's talking as being isn't just that I had lunch and I'm eating, you know, dinner an hour past when I normally eat and I'm kind of hungry. No, the hunger and thirst here is you haven't had a glass of water or anything to drink for a couple days. And you haven't eaten for days. And you hunger and you thirst for righteousness. It is all you can think about. Your body screams and cries out for righteousness. It is all that you can think about. Righteousness. To be righteous. It's not a casual thing. This is a life and death hunger and thirst. And you will be filled. I look at, and there's multiple verses, there's this, throughout Scripture, you can just take these, the Beatitudes, and then go and search them and find this multiple verses that refer to them. One thing I've been wrestling with is what does it take to get an outpouring of God's power in this region? What does it take in me? What do I need to do? And he points me back to these types of things. He points me back to where I need to be in my relationship with him. Being casual about your relationship with the Father isn't going to get you where he desires you to be. Him being on your list of things to do throughout the day isn't going to get me there. It's not going to get you there. He has to be the top of the list. And he has to direct everything on your list. We have to hunger and thirst for him. Once again, this isn't that casual hunger. This is a hunger and a thirst for more of Him. A hunger and a thirst that if you don't get it, you will die. Hunger and thirst. Going back to Romans 12, to be transformed and renewed, changed totally, like new again, like Him. If we can get it within us to get to that hunger and a thirst to that level, then He can start to use us in a mighty way. But the commitment level there, and that's what He's showing me, is tremendous. But the relationship with Him is tremendous. And to see Him move in mighty power, and that He will be glorified through the things that go on. Once again, number one of the Beatitudes is to be poor in spirit, which is to be humble in all that we do. If you want a good study, go and study humbleness throughout Scripture. Two, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Once again, just because it rhymes with weak doesn't mean that that's what it means. Blessed are the meek. Then the fourth one, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're going to go into some more worship. I just encourage you to focus on these Beatitudes as we go into more worship and meditation. In Matthew 5, maybe flip over to Romans 12 or wherever God calls you to go. Meditation is one of the hardest things that we can do, and it's just taking time. This you and the Father talking to Him. Say, reveal, Lord, what you want to show me tonight through these Scriptures. And He's got things custom made for you. He may take one phrase that I said, and He's going to blow that up in a custom made teaching that He has for you. Father, I just thank You for Your love. Father, I pray this continue to reveal who You are to us, Lord. Father, may we see You as You truly are. Father, I pray during this time of this communion with You, just sitting at Your feet, Lord, just speak into our hearts. Speak into our hearts, Lord. Father, may we walk out of this place knowing You more than we knew You when we came into this place. Father, may we hunger and thirst for more of You. Father, increase our hunger, increase our thirst for more and more of You, Lord. For more and more of You, Lord. We just want more of You, Lord. More of You, Lord. Amen.